Coming up on Browns Countdown, training camp is finally here. From position battles to breakout players and exclusive interviews, we'll dive deep into all the information you need to know to follow your Browns as they prepare for the 2017 NFL season.
I feel like we've made a huge jumps and strides on defense. I think we're making huge strides on offense, and now we got to go try to take this to the next level.
There's a calm in the air tonight in Berea, but it feels like going to bed before the first day of school. The butterflies are ready to roll as training camp opens tomorrow for your 2017 Cleveland Browns. Hi, everybody. Great to be here. It's Browns Countdown. It is our training camp special, and we are very excited to be here. I'm Andy Baskin, Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. Gentlemen, look at it. Pristine and ready to roll.
Yeah, it is beautiful. It's finally here. Been waiting all summer, Matt. Training camp begins tomorrow. A new venue behind us.
Correct.
Got bleachers, 1,250-seat bleacher back there. Three fields, new layout. It's going to be exciting.
It is going to be very exciting. And I think not only this new layout, it's going to give more access to the fans more than ever before with the training camp hosted here in Berea, but there are at least 10 players that were added to this football team that's going to not only probably equate to wins, but it's going to be very exciting for this fan base and players that are going to go out and make plays and make these Cleveland Browns legitimate in that AFC North.
I am looking forward to seeing the dog pound behind us with these new stands out here. It just makes it feel a lot more like a training camp, like you feel like you're going to be a part of it. I'm excited, and don't forget, it's free to come out to training camp this year. Make sure you go to ClevelandBrowns.com to check it out. All right, let's get into what happened in the offseason, and we start with the draft, and you have to be excited when you have three first-round picks.
Absolutely. A lot of people think the Browns hit a home run in this draft, and it started early. Three first-round picks, including number one overall. You and I talked about it all year. If you finish where the Browns finished last year, you've got to get the best player in the draft, and they did that in Myles Garrett. Then they add Jabril Peppers, a very versatile player, the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, and then come back in David Njoku. And then even after that, you get DeShone Kizer, your quarterback, potentially of the future, at pick number 52.
And you know what I love about this, and I know that Gary Barnett served a purpose for this organization for the last few years and played a huge role on offense, but the confidence in Sashi Brown and Hugh Jackson to hit on these picks. Myles Garrett is going to be a great defensive end and affect the passer for a very long time in this division. Jabril Peppers, who knows really where he's going to fit in the outset, but he's going to play a role and he's going to play a lot of places, as we'll hear from Hugh Jackson. But you cut Gary Barnage the very next morning after taking David Njoku, and we're very young at that position. Just goes to show the direction this team is headed.
And the good thing is we heard Myles Garrett is healthy today and ready to roll. What did we learn from minicamp and the OTAs?
Well, I'll tell you, just looking at this team, and it goes back to some of these guys you talked about in the draft, Njoku with his size, Garrett with his size, Peppers, this team is bigger, stronger, and faster. And I think there are too many times you looked over the last few years, you looked at the Browns and looked at the opponent, and you said, I don't know if we can compete with these guys physically. That's no longer going to be the case.
And I think in some sometimes, guys, when you walk into these football games, you've always felt like, who's that Cleveland Brown that needs to make that one play to maybe put us over the edge and bring home a victory? And we always were short of that guy or slighted that guy. Well, we've reloaded the cupboards with a solid offensive line. We've got playmakers on offense and defense. And now you can call out anywhere from four to six names to make that play in crunch time late in the fourth quarter.
All right, I want to talk about one thing that was good in the offseason during the Cavaliers NBA Finals. I ran into Greg Williams, defensive coordinator, and Hugh Jackson. They were at the game the Cavaliers won. I think that's a good sign. What does Greg Williams bring?
Come get some. He brings unbridled enthusiasm, passion, energy, and accountability. These players love him. The past players we've talked to played for Greg Williams love him. And I've talked about this on the show, and you as well. He may be the most important thing that they did, the most important acquisition in the offseason, in an offseason where you brought in Garrett and Peppers and Njoku, and you re-signed Collins, you re-signed Kirksey, you re-signed Betonio. I think Greg Williams and the stamp he'll put on this defense, and we saw it from day one, means they will be aggressive, and I think that's going to be a huge improvement for this team.
No doubt, and I agree with everything that you just said, and what I love about Greg Williams is Greg Williams is very versatile as a defensive coordinator. He's not necessarily going to run a 4-3 or a 3-4 or a 5-2, nickel, dime. He's going to do it all. And that's what's going to be so great. And he's going to have the weapons now, finally, especially in that front six. And we know things on that back end are going to get figured out. But he's going to go into the game plan playing to the strengths of his 11 to 14 guys that are going to make up his multitude of packages as we prepare for the Steelers, the Bengals, and the Ravens.
All right, Greg Williams had the chance to wear a mic, and we get set to listen, to be there with Greg Williams as he's mic'd up.
There has to be a trust out there on the field that I'm going to do my job so you can do your job. You're not doing it alone. This is 11 man on defense, 11 on one. We're 11 guys going after the ball, and we all got to be on the same page.
You got to be able to block out stress. You got to be able to block out all the weird white noise. Focus on what's important and play ball.
Feet down. Get out!
I believe all good and great players want to be taught, motivated, and inspired.
Come on! Come on! Sink! 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 Come on! Come on! Come on! Come on! Come on! Come on! Touch the ball! That's it, good. Try to rip that ball every time. You know what? You guys are doing this faster than a lot of teams I've coached. That's good. That's very good.
Matt, when you talk about Greg Williams and you touched on the thought of don't get tied up with the 4-3, 3-4, the nickel, what does that instill in you as a player? I would think that gives you a little, not too much creative freedom, but the freedom to be the best you can with your ability.
Well, absolutely. I think if you go out on the practice field throughout training camp, as you did maybe in OTAs and minicamp, and you put good practice after good practice after good practice, and you put them all in a row. Because coaches in the National Football League, they don't necessarily want you extremely high, then extremely low. They want consistent. They know what they want to get out of you and who you are and what makes you tick and what your strengths really are. And I think that's what Greg Williams and this entire process is really going to be about. And why in some cases we might see maybe five or six guys really never come off the field defensively, but the other five to seven are going to consistently rotate as we play to their strengths.
Well, that's just one of the things. I remember we went to St. Louis when the Rams were still there and we watched them. You couldn't tell who was playing where. He put the best athletes on the field, played to their strengths, and let them do what they did best. And he basically saved Mark Barron's career, a former failed first-round pick, sixth overall. As a safety, he moves him to a linebacker. Those guys were running around making plays, and that's what I think this defense is going to be ultimately. Get the best 11 athletes out there and let them make plays.
All right, let's get into some of the top storylines going into training camp. And you guys know this from being on the radio. I know this. Everybody wants to talk about the quarterback.
Well, yeah, and Hugh Jackson saying today that Cody Kessler has earned the right to go out there first with the first team, as was the case in the OTAs and minicamp. But look, this is a question that will be with this team forever, and we'll get into it in much more depth later on. But I truly believe this will be an open competition with Cody Kessler, Brock Osweiler, the only quarterback on the roster, by the way, that's won a game in the NFL.
Right.
And the rookie, DeShone Kizer, who has the most physical gifts of any of those players.
Absolutely correct. And I think that this is going to be an ongoing battle, and I wouldn't be surprised that while Cody Kessler may open training camp, he might get a quick hook, because if there are things or traits that Hugh Jackson expects out of his starting quarterback that actually gives us a legitimate opportunity to win on a consistent basis, and it's not what Cody Kessler is doing maybe through 5 or 6 days of camp, he will make that change and start to feed reps to whoever he feels gives us that opportunity.
Nathan, how important is it for him to have his starting quarterback preseason game one against New Orleans?
I don't think it's that important, and I think the way that the schedule shakes out for the Browns is helpful. You have that first preseason game one in about 2 weeks from now, right, on August the 10th against the Saints, but then you get a full 10 days to evaluate between that and the second preseason game the following Monday against the Giants on the 21st here. So I think by that second game you need to have it. Look, he's not going to force it. He wants it by that Giants game, but I don't think he's going to force it. I mean by the Saints game, sorry.
All right. Another big headline. Obviously, you've got old and new. You got Joe Thomas going up against Myles Garrett in camp. That's something I want to watch, but there's a mutual respect, especially for a young man that's trying to learn the game.
No question, and this is the premier matchup. I can't wait for the pads to come on. The first time they will is Saturday to see Joe Thomas and to see Myles Garrett, because it takes me back a couple of years ago. Khalil Mack had just come into the league with the Oakland Raiders, and I remember talking to Joe Thomas after that game, and he said, "That guy is the best I have ever gone against," while he was a rookie. So Joe Thomas is a guy who knows right away, and I think we'll have a pretty good sense whether or not Myles Garrett has it at that level from Joe Thomas.
No, you're absolutely right, and I think the one thing that we have to do is pump our brakes on how many times over the course of maybe the next 2 weeks we're actually going to see Joe Thomas and Myles Garrett go against each other, because they are both, you know, great players or potentially great players in this league. We know who Joe Thomas is, but the opportunity, we know Joe's going to get his days off. And how many times is Myles Garrett going to actually be matched up in a one-on-one situation against Joe Thomas? It's going to be very, very few. The spotlight is going to be on it, guys. And I think our opportunity for Joe Thomas to give us that soundbite and to give us that clip about the expectations of what Myles Garrett is as the number one overall player is really what we're after.
Matt, the other thing, too, is you can look at the depth chart and you actually see depth this year. There is an influx of talent.
Absolutely. And that's as this show goes on. I mean, there are many position battles that we're going to get into at defensive line, at offensive line, at the safety position, at the corner position. Position, you know, backup linebacker position. So it's very interesting and a highly competitive camp for us.
All right, so obviously today was a big day for Browns fans. We had a chance to listen in on what the guys had to say. Hugh Jackson, Sashi Brown, Joe Thomas, Joe Hayden all stepped up to the podium today here in Berea. Here's a little bit of what they had to say.
Very excited to start year number two. We're looking to improve as a football team, compete, come in and do whatever we think it takes to get this organization where it needs to be.
Our business, our job here is to win games, a lot of games. We've got to establish the way we work and prepare, and the wins will follow from that. And the coaching staff did an excellent job at reestablishing who we are as Cleveland Browns and what the expectations are.
We got some great dudes on defense, like you said, Jamie Collins, Kirko re-signing, getting Myles Garrett. I'm really excited about our defensive coordinator, just being able to see how he's been challenging us as a group. And then everybody just going out there ready to play, trying to make plays, trying to get better.
It's exciting watching how everybody gels in training camp and all the fun things that go on in training camp, all the hard times that you persevere together with your brothers. And it's a fun, exciting time to be a Cleveland Brown.
Hey, let's go. Be safe, man. Browns on three. One, two, three. Browns!
Outstanding. All right, we are just opening up our playbook here. When we come back, we are going to start to break down the team. We'll talk defensive linemen and Matt's forte. Linebackers next. Welcome back to Berea for our Browns countdown. It is our training camp special. Let's talk about the defensive line. We start off talking about some young guys who clearly need to earn their stripes this year, just like everybody else does. Myles Garrett, the number one overall pick, Larry Ogunjobi, and then, of course, Caleb Brantley. Your thoughts on these guys?
Well, I think the Browns obviously really bolstered their defensive line this year with the addition of those three guys. Garrett, we talked about the number one overall pick. Look, there are three people in the history of the SEC who have had more than 30 sacks and been unanimous All-Americans. Reggie White, Derek Thomas, and Myles Garrett. If he can be like those two, we'll be in good shape. Ogunjobi was the first pick of the third round, and then Brantley taken in the sixth round because of an off-the-field incident. Many thought he was a top 50 talent. We've already heard from the defensive line coach Clyde Simmons. He's looked like an all-pro at times, and he's looked like, what the heck are you doing out here? Get pack your bags. You're out of here, Monfrere. So this is a guy who needs to be consistent, but a lot of talent added in those three individuals.
Most definitely, and I think as we look at all our position groups and the battles that are going to go on to make this football team, to me, this is most intriguing because we're bolstered with talent here. And I think you add these three, and you would like to say, we know Myles Garrett, the number one overall pick, will make this football team. But Larry Ogunjobi, a third-round pick, has got to prove his weight because he's fighting Jamie Meter and Xavier Cooper and a veteran Dez Bryant. And all of these guys have their strengths. It's just a matter of what they do out on this practice field now is really going to matter. Are they a Cleveland Brown or not? And you mentioned Caleb Brantley. It's, as you said, this guy could have gone in the second round, came sixth to the Cleveland Brown, exonerated of the off-the-field issues. And so we got a significant value, and it seems to me that Sashi Brown and his guys are working wonders to find as much value as they can. You get Kaiser in the second round, you get Brantley in the sixth round, should have been drafted in the second, going to make an impact.
Yeah. It's like six of the top 65 players in this draft are on this team, and I'll tell you, if you're going to look at this roster, and you talked about it, I believe the toughest decisions that Sashi Brown and company are going to have to make will come on the defensive line. What do you keep, maybe eight defensive linemen?
Yes.
And we talked about the defensive end position, you've got Garrett, you've got Ogba, you've got Nassib. They're likely definitely to be here. Then you have Nate Orchard, a former second-round pick who's moving back to his natural position where he had 18 sacks at Utah and was one of the best defensive players in the Pac-12. And then Cam Johnson, who's played very well in his own right and was working with the first team when Garrett was out, not Orchard. So that's five guys for four spots right there.
Yeah, right, but dive into this from the veteran aspect because, I mean, you just talked about Ogba. You've got Danny Shelton as well. So these guys, they're going to have to mesh with these new guys. And it feels weird calling these guys veterans because they have less than three seasons under the belt.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think this is a young football team that went 1-15 last year. Those are the cold, hard facts. And we're going to have to rely on Myles Garrett, the number one overall pick, to be on the field a lot. You know, Emmanuel Ogba, who had a very, very good, high-quality first year in the NFL, to take a big step the same way that Danny Shelton did from year one to year two. Played almost like at a Pro Bowl level. So Ogba and Garrett are going to play off each other. I think you pencil in, Shelton in run situations to be that third defensive lineman. And then it's all those other guys that we mentioned, Dez Bryant and Jamie Meter, Xavier Cooper, Caleb Brantley, Larry Ogunjobi, competing for roles opposite Danny Shelton as an internal defensive lineman.
Right, come back.
Think about what he just said right there. That's the defensive tackle position. You have Shelton played like a Pro Bowler. Dez Bryant comes back, who's 6'6", 300 pounds, and a different guy than you had. He averaged 5.5 sacks per season his last 2 years with the Browns. Ogba led the team with 5.5 sacks last year, and that's an interior guy. Cooper, a third-round pick. Meter, you just signed to a contract. You just drafted Ogunjobi. You just drafted Brantley. That's six guys for four spots at D-tackle. If the Browns do make a trade somewhere, maybe for a receiver, I would be surprised if it is a D-tackle.
Well, we'll get to receivers in a second because obviously they're very young. You've got one guy with more than 3 years of experience. But let's jump into linebacker spot now, and I think one of the best things that happened was Jamie Collins coming back, committing to the Browns, because I think there were some people kind of questioning this in the middle of last season. Jamie Collins is going to lead you in that linebacking core.
Absolutely, and I think the one intriguing fact about Jamie Collins signing is when he signed and what he signed for. Because everyone in the face of that trade last year talked about, Jamie Collins, we're essentially renting him for the remaining eight games of the season. Jamie Collins did not hit free agency. Had he hit free agency, he would have probably been in a multi-team, race and signed him for anywhere from like $3 to $7 million more. So Jamie Collins, in some cases, took less and wanted to be a Cleveland Brown. The Browns then prioritized Christian Kirksey, signed him to a big deal, and you've got two of some of the best linebackers in all of football right now.
What you have are two guys who are athletic, and I think Jamie Collins is going to come out this year with a full year in the system in the offseason as one of the best defensive players in the NFL. He's a guy who averages about 10 tackles a game for you. He can rush the passer. He can cover. And Kirksey can do those things, too. Last year, third in the NFL in tackles. Both of them are good blitzers. Both are good in coverage. You're going to see two linebackers on the field, I think, the majority of the time with those two, and you're in great hands right there. And Collins came here last year. He was quiet. Nobody really knew anything about him. He is not quiet anymore. Right. He is the most talkative guy out here on this practice field. He feels comfortable. I expect him to thrive this year.
All right, Christian Kirksey, you guys talked about the linebacker spot. We had a chance to go to California with him in the offseason during building the Browns, and you have got to see the way he is approaching this season.
It's a bunch of guys looking up to you. You know, you got players with great potential like Myles Garrett. You seen what Ogba did last year and the flashes that he had, with Jabril Peppers, with the Corey Coleman's, with those guys who has, the sky's the limit for those guys. You just got to show them the way, just like Carlos Dansby, Craig Robinson, those guys, Dez Bryant, how they, cradled me in, my rookie year, my second year, how they did that with me. I have to now do that with them. And, I've been in Cleveland, through a lot of the adversity that we went through. These guys they're just now getting there, so you kind of just got to show them the way. Like, okay, this was the old Cleveland. This is how we're doing things now.
Earning your stripes.
And don't forget, building the Browns all season long, but especially here during the preseason and training camp, you can catch it at 11 o'clock on News 5. Looking forward to having you. And then, even if you miss it on News 5, make sure you watch it on ClevelandBrowns.com. They are some of the best pieces you will see. They're outstanding, and I absolutely love watching building the Browns on News 5. When we come back, we're going to talk running backs and the new look offensive line. We're live at training camp right after this. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Browns Countdown, live from Berea as we get you ready for training camp, which starts tomorrow. Of course, you can always get in for free. Make sure you go register online at clevelandbrowns.com. All right, let's talk about the offensive line. Two big free agent signings in J.C. Treader and Kevin Zeitler. And the offensive line looks to be probably the best part of this team, the way you look at it on paper heading into tomorrow.
Yeah, it's got to be one of the best units in the league for this team to function the way they want. They made the investment in it. They saw the offensive line, didn't get the job done last year. You got to get Kevin Zeitler, arguably the best right guard in the National Football League. Sign him to a big deal. You bring in J.C. Treader. So if you go and look at the Week 17 starting lineup, you're going to have four new starters on this line. Betonio comes back. He's an all-pro player when healthy. That's going to be the key for him. Treader, Zeitler, and then hopefully Sean Coleman. We'll see what the battle with Sean Coleman, Cam Irving there, and then, of course, the legend, Joe Thomas.
You know what's encouraging to me, Nathan and Andy, is when we were addressed by Hugh Jackson and Sashi Brown is there were no names on that pup list except for Howard Wilson. And that means, in some cases, all those great offensive linemen, those that we signed, Joel Betonio off of his foot surgery after missing portions of last year, Sean Coleman, a healthy Joe Thomas, we're going to see these five guys play together and play together a lot out in this practice field. And I believe for this offensive line and this running game to accomplish what we think Isaiah Crowell, Duke Johnson, and what Hugh Jackson wants for them is really going to be up to these offensive linemen building a bond together, creating continuity amongst them to be able to handle the stunts and the different fronts that they'll see, and just maul some guys. That's what I love. That's where the signing of Kevin Zeitler and seeing Joel Betonio coming around on that power play, that's what gets me excited about camp and this dominant offensive line.
And they feel very good about the coaching they're getting from Bob Wiley. That Maserati-driving man can come in here. He can put cards on you. He can do anything. But they love the technique, they love the style, and Hugh Jackson sought him out to bring him back in for this group, which all of a sudden has depth. John Greco looks like a backup. Right. Cam Irving's either competing for a starting spot or is going to be a backup for your team. Spencer Drango, who is a rookie, played very well for this team. He's going to be a backup. You bring in a former third-round pick in Martin from San Francisco. There are a lot of guys now in the mix all of a sudden, and you draft Rod Johnson. It's a fairly deep group now.
All right, get into the battle at right tackle, because that's something you're going to want to definitely watch here. At training camp, you got Sean Coleman and Cam Irving.
Yeah, Sean Coleman is a guy who's a mauler. And I think in some cases with the three tight ends that we have, David Njoku, Seth DeValve, and Randall Telfer, you can create a scheme, or Hugh Jackson can create a scheme to essentially protect Sean Coleman early on, but he's going to have to go out here on the practice field twice a day and prove it and earn it, because I know Cam Irving, you know, didn't quite get it done at center, but being a number one pick, there is the pressure associated with it, and you don't want to be one of those guys that after 3 years can't even make your team anymore. I mean, he can very likely not win a battle at right tackle and be on the streets. So I think Cam Irving's going to come back, you know, with some tenacity to him, and he's going to put in some weight to really compete with Sean Coleman for that right tackle job.
And we know Sean Coleman is going to be in for a battle. He had a chance to sit down with Lauren Brill.
We're here with the Browns offensive lineman, Sean Coleman. Thanks for joining us.
Yep, what's up?
Second year going into training camp. How is this year different than last year?
I feel like I know a lot more what to expect. You know, last year I was coming off an injury. Now I've been able to go through OTAs and things like that.
You only had 62 snaps last year, but what were you able to take away from that experience?
Even that much was a lot for me, you know, being able to play in the last game and everything, and, you know, being able to build on something, you know, going into the next season was big for me.
You're competing for the starting spot at right tackle, but your entire career in college was at left tackle. How do you make that adjustment, and is there a huge adjustment?
Yeah, it is an adjustment. I mean, you know, the way you switch up stances and things like that, you know, just going over to the right side, working with different people and things like that.
Joe Thomas said previously that he thinks you're the guy that's going to win that job. Having the confidence of a guy like Joe Thomas, what does that do for you as a player?
It's good that he believes in me and everything, but I mean, I look at it as those are just words. I have to go out there, you know, make it happen.
Knowing that the position is out there and you're the favorite to win it, is there any added pressure?
No, I mean, I don't even look at it as a competition. I always say I'm in competition with myself. I'm just trying to, you know, get myself better every day and, you know, just let it play out from there.
What are your expectations for the season?
We're in the rebuilding stage, and, you know, they've obviously brought a lot of people in that can help the team. And, you know, I don't like to jinx anything or anything, but, you know, we just need to go out there and play ball.
All right, perfect. Thank you so much for joining us.
All right.
All right, Lauren, thank you very much. Now, one position we haven't talked about yet, which to Browns fans is going to seem very, very stable, is the running back spot. You know these guys. They've been here, Isaiah Crowell and, of course, Duke Johnson. So where do they play out? And we talked about the offensive line. I got to think they're both very excited because we should be running the ball a lot this year.
I think Isaiah Crowell is in line for a monster season. He's clearly the featured back. Last year, he had 238 touches to 126 for Duke. You look at the carries, it's almost 200 for Crow. Duke wasn't quite near 100. So right. He's going to be the guy. The only thing stopping Isaiah Crowell from being a 1,000-yard rusher, maybe even a 1,400-yard rusher, is opportunities. I'll give you guys one stat on Crow. 3 career games with at least 18 carries. That's it, only 3. Never had more than 20. A rush for 130 yards or more in all 3 of those games.
The one hurdle that I hope that Isaiah Crowell can get over is that whole contract situation, because as we know, Isaiah Crowell was late to, you know, phase 1 and essentially entered into phase 2 of the offseason program, and it has a lot to do with this contract. And this year he's playing on that 1-year tender for a little over $2 million and wants to be paid like an essentially a above average or elite running back. Well, we've seen what Le'Veon Bell's going to do in Pittsburgh, and I know that Isaiah Crowell is not yet in that standing. But I think behind this offensive line and the way we know Hugh Jackson and the way he commits to running the football, Isaiah Crowell, as you just said, is set to have a big year. He just needs to trust this process and knows that if he takes care of business, that contract will then take care of itself.
All right, and don't forget, you'll get your first chance to see these guys. And you'll see him in the Origin Brown scrimmage. And so we're looking forward to that. That is on August 4th. It's at 5 o'clock, and you want to be there at First Energy Stadium. Again, there will be a free autograph session to follow. Tickets for free as well. Make sure you go to clevelandbrowns.com. All right, boys, we still have plenty more to come. And there is one spot with a ton of question marks, and that is at defensive backs. We're going to let you guys set the stage. I want to see who you think are going to be the starters on DB. Joe Hayden can feel good about him. You can pen him in. Welcome back to Browns training camp here in Berea. You're watching Browns Countdown on News 5. Very excited to be here. All right, we dedicated a single segment to the defensive backs because you got 11 of them that are going to be out here. Let's start with Jabril Peppers. First of all, great that he got his contract done. I think that was just one of those, good, no problems. Where is he going to play, and how will he be different in the pros than he was at Michigan?
Well, at Michigan, I think he sacrificed himself for the betterment of his team and played closer to the line of scrimmage as a linebacker, when in reality, he is a safety. And in the Greg Williams defense, you're going to see that safety near the ball. You're going to see him playing deep in center field. And Hugh Jackson said this morning, they're going to get him on the field. They're going to use him a lot of ways, but they're excited about the athleticism that he brings.
Absolutely, but they didn't necessarily say how they're going to use him on defense. So I think the intriguing thing about Jabril Peppers is where he's going to play. I think immediately he's going to be either our punt returner and or our kick returner. He's going to be on defense, but how much? And I would not be surprised with the creativity of Hugh Jackson if he does add a couple of wrinkles offensively.
All right. In the free agent world, the Browns go out and get Jason McCourty. How will he help?
Listen, you're bringing in a guy who's an 8-year starter in the National Football League, 2-time team captain for the Tennessee Titans. And I think when we looked at that cornerback room, we said to ourselves, okay, you've got Joe Hayden, you've got Jamar Taylor, who came in and earned that extension last year. Breann Body Calhoun played very well as a rookie, but was an undrafted free agent. And then you brought in Howard Wilson. He said, maybe we need another veteran in there. Well, with the Wilson injury, I think that prodded them to make the move. You bring in Jason McCourty, a guy who knows how to help this team get where they want to be and provide some real stability.
And towards the end of last season, we recalled, we signed Jamar Taylor to a 3-year extension. So he's a guy that in the face of a bad record grew up a lot, just like Breann Body Calhoun, played a lot of football, and now will probably move inside with Hayden and McCourty on the outside. Jamar Taylor and Nick was going to be a great situation.
All right, let's get into it. Why don't you guys give me your secondary starters, because let's face it, it's wide open, I think, in a lot of places.
I think it is wide open. For me, at the cornerback position, I think ultimately you're going to have, I'm going to look at it as a nickel. So these three guys will all be starters for me. I think you're going to have Joe Hayden at one corner, McCourty at the other corner outside, and then Jamar Taylor as your nickel. Breann Body Calhoun would be your dime. The safety position is where it gets interesting. I really think Jabril Peppers is going to be out there, and I think they're going to find a way to get Calvin Pryor in there. You look at Jamar Taylor, second round pick, didn't do anything in Miami, comes here, makes a big impact. Well, Calvin Pryor is a former first-round pick out of Louisville, the New York Jets, a very physical guy. I see him getting some opportunities, and then you've got to also acknowledge the one guy, the first guy that Hugh Jackson said would be out there with the first team at safety. Derek Kindred had a promising rookie year, the fourth rounder out of TCU. I think he's going to play a lot.
And I'll go quickly through mine because Nathan and I, we actually match at the cornerback position. Hayden McCourty opposite Taylor in at the nickel. Breon Battikahoon will be the next body out of that room if we get into dime situations and want to go four corners. I'm going to go Kindred as my starting strong safety in a competition with Pryor. If Pryor can grasp this system, he might uproot Kindred in that system. I'm going to go with Ed Reynolds at free safety. I like the experience back there in the middle of the field. And I actually have Jabril Peppers down with miscellaneous next to his name because he's going to be down in the box. He's going to be blitzing off the edge. Give us a playmaker in certain situations. But as he learns and grows through maybe the first 4 to 6 games of the season, we might see him grow into a larger role.
All right, you brought up Breon Battikahoon, and last year, last year, when I think about guys that jumped off the page, guys that played hard, guys that came out of nowhere, he was that guy. And I can't wait to see how he battles in camp and what he's able to perform. He had a chance to sit down with Akeem Dervish.
Here with Browns cornerback Breon Battikahoon. Breon, what's the feeling, what's the mood going into training camp?
Super excited to come back, man. I'm one of those guys that need structure, so too much free time isn't always the best thing for me. So I'm extremely excited to be back.
Drive! Get it out! That's good.
You're going to be playing for Greg Williams and his fiery, passionate defense.
Yes.
What's your impression of Greg Williams?
He's a great teacher. Since I've been here with him, I've learned more than I've learned in a very long time. So I would just say his knowledge of the game and his experience and just the tenacity that he's going to have us playing with is great.
He once told me that the extra G in his name stands for genius. What's your reaction to that?
I would be behind him on
okay.
that. Definitely. Genius. Definitely. No problems about it. No, I wouldn't doubt it. Mm-mm. He has it.
I want to take you back to week 3 last year.
Week 3.
First NFL game. You had your interception for a touchdown against the Dolphins. What was that moment like?
That wasn't how I planned to pick six going. It was probably like 99 yards,
right.
You know what I'm saying, like a hitch, right. You know, a fade, figure fader. But it was just amazing, man, just to go out there and show my teammates and my coaches that the plays that I made out here on the practice field, I can go in the game and make them, and to do that your first game is really a big deal. So I'm just glad that I got the opportunity. I can just thank Cleveland forever for that, and just want to continue to build on that.
What do you think of Myles Garrett?
Freak. Number one. I would have took him zero pick. I would have picked him at the zero pick. But, yeah, he's a freak, man. Love him. Love his energy. Love the way he plays. I'm excited to see what he does. Very excited.
All right. Finish this sentence.
Finish it.
This season, the Cleveland Browns will do what?
Win. That's it. That's all that matters. Win.
All right.
All right.
I'm going to keep you to that. You
do
better
it.
Win.
Do
you
it.
Got to win one more than one.
Do it. No doubt about it. Way more than one. We're going to win, though. Definitely.
What makes you so confident?
Our defense, and I believe in Coach U. So I believe that defense wins championships. So once we get that side of the ball figured out, I'm not worried about offense because I know Coach U's going to do whatever he needs to do to get that side figured out. He's great with that. But our defense has changed. So that's the big difference.
Breon Battikahoon, he's rocking the Mike Tyson T-shirt.
You see me.
Appreciate the time, sir.
Thanks a lot.
Best of luck in training camp.
Yeah, I was going to say, did he borrow the T-shirt from you or you?
Not me.
It's old school punch out. I love that.
Isn't that awesome? Body blow. Body blow.
Best.
When we come back, it's what everyone's been talking about in the offseason, the quarterback position. We'll break that down next. Back to Browns Countdown. It was said today by Hugh Jackson that Cody Kessler will get the first team reps when the team walks out on the field tomorrow. It is going to be an interesting battle at quarterback. It's going to be fun. Let's start with Cody Kessler leading the way tomorrow.
Well, look, Cody Kessler is the guy that Hugh Jackson knows what he's got in him. He's going to be accurate, 66% completion. He's going to take care of the football, 6 touchdowns, only 2 interceptions. The question for Cody Kessler is, can he go out and make those chunk throws? Can he show the willingness to do it and the ability to do it to drive the football down the field so Hugh Jackson can run the offense he really wants to run?
No doubt. And I think he's the safe choice, and I think he's expected. And in all eyes, I think he expected him to come out and be the starter at the start of camp, because I don't think Brock Osweiler learning this system and really, you know, getting out of that Bill O'Brien mentality there in Houston and all the bad press that really came along with it. And I think DeShone Kizer being a draft pick, yes, he's a quick learn, but enough to put himself in a situation to start for one of 32 NFL franchises, just not yet. So I can understand wholeheartedly why Hugh Jackson wants to trot Cody Kessler out first.
Where do they stand with Brock Osweiler? Guys from Montana are normally pretty tough. And when I see him, I think about that. I think about what happened in Houston. But I also think about where he was a year ago, and he was such a hot commodity. What are the Browns getting?
He was the hottest commodity in the NFL. He signed a 4-year, $72 million deal. Was a guy at that time went 5-2 with the Broncos, got them to the playoffs, 7.2 yards per attempt, 62% completion, quarterback rating near 90, 10 touchdowns, 6 picks. And then you go to Houston, guy doesn't complete 60% of his passes, 5 yards per attempt, more picks than touchdowns, a quarterback rating in the 70s. He was the least accurate passer in the NFL. So if you get the good Brock, he probably starts week one. If you don't, I don't know what happens with Brock Osweiler, because I don't see this team, with as cap conscious as they are, keeping a guy with $16 million to play backup.
But he has won football games in the National Football League, and that's
13
of them, and a playoff one that Andy Dalton has yet to win, a playoff game. And so I put some credibility behind Brock Osweiler, and I think that maybe some of the disgruntled aspect of working with Bill O'Brien in a pressure situation there in Houston, where they have to win and win now because of J.J. Watt and that great defense, they don't know how long that's going to last. It might have gotten the best of them and just pushed all the wrong buttons for Brock Osweiler. We know Hugh Jackson is a quarterback guru, and he's going to come in here and work with all three and give each an opportunity. And I think Brock Osweiler is a guy who will not make the Cleveland Browns as a backup. He will be a starter. I know, Nathan, you've said this before. He will start for this football team, or he will be outside looking in. The Browns will still owe him money, but we can offset that by signing with another team.
Where will we be with DeShone Kizer and his odds of being the starting quarterback week one?
I think right now it's 33-33-33, honestly, because when you look at DeShone Kizer, this is what you talk about with a franchise quarterback. 6'4", 233, can make every throw in the book. He can run, ran for 18 touchdowns as well at Notre Dame. The question for him is, can he be consistent? Right now, he made the best throws in camp every day. He also made the worst throws in camp almost every day. He's better throwing a 20-yard dig into a tight window than he is throwing a 5-yard crosser. He's got to be able to hit those layups. His talent is tantalizing. I know they said in the offseason he did everything they needed to from a mental standpoint. He's come back ready to go. Can he do it on the field and seize this job?
My one question, guys, for all three of these quarterbacks, because all three of them are at different portions in their career, is can you win football games with this guy? Because you can go with DeShone Kizer and think to the future and have him learn on the run and, you know, and trial by fire, and that's all fine and good. But I know this fan base wants to win. I know that I and Hugh Jackson wants to win. Can we do that with DeShone Kizer? Can we do it with Brock Osweiler, the guy who's only won football games amongst this entire quarterback room in the NFL? And when we saw Cody Kessler is safe. Can he go out and beat the Steelers, the Ravens, and the Bengals on a consistent basis?
Well, that was my question to you then. What do you value more? Somebody who can go out and win you games but may lose you some, or somebody who is safe, as you said? And I think we'll find out come September 10th.
I think one other question, just as we talk about the quarterbacks, is going to be, we know the fans want it. We know the head coach probably wants to pick it. How quick does the team need to know who that starting quarterback is so everybody can settle in? When we come back, we're talking wide receivers. Welcome back to Browns Countdown as we get ready for training camp, which starts tomorrow here in Berea, and it is free. Let's not forget that. Come on out.
There's free water. Stay hydrated, baby. The Browns want you to be hydrated.
Water bottles, putt-putt, puppy pound. You got everything out there and stands this year. This place looks amazing. Let's talk about the wide receivers, tight ends. Kenny Britt comes in as the experienced wide receiver. What do you have after that? And you've got a first-round pick that you're expecting some things from.
Well, Kenny Britt's got to come in and replace what you've lost with Terrell Pryor in the offseason. And last year had 30 fewer targets than Pryor, the same number of yards, one more touchdown. He can do that. This is a guy who's led the Rams in receiving 3 years in a row. And if there was another team that had a quarterback situation maybe as bad as the Browns, it was the Rams. So he's used to work with that. Then the onus is on Corey Coleman to step up in a major way. Didn't hit 45 yards in a single game after that hot start in weeks 1 and 2. He's got to be the guy you counted on when you drafted him 15th overall. Yes, Ricardo Lewis looks like he's progressing, but I really think when you're talking about the third, fourth receiver in this offense, it's going to be two guys who don't play wide receiver.
Absolutely. It's the tight ends. And we drafted one in the first round. David Njoku traded back into the first round, took David Njoku, who was a physical freak just like Myles Garrett, a high school state champion in the high jump, high points the ball, ran a 4.640. He's going to be a great player. And then we saw the emergence at the end of last season of Seth the Valve. And again, go back to our first segment, the confidence in Sashi Brown, in Randall Telfer, Seth the Valve, and the drafting of David Njoku to cut a player who meant so much to this organization, and Gary Barnage.
Yeah, Gary Barnage had 1,600 yards receiving the last 2 years, but they believe, and I think we're going to see a lot of that two tight end set with Britt Coleman, Njoku, and DeValve. DeValve was a receiver at Princeton. They have an opportunity to really create some mismatches to either run the football or throw it.
How much does that double tight end set help a young quarterback? How much does it help young tight end or young wide receiver?
I've always said for quarterbacks in general, the closest target, legitimate target that runs pass routes is a good tight end. I played against with Antonio Gates for a very long time, against Tony Gonzalez. It means a lot. So whatever quarterback wins this job, Njoku, DeValve, Telfer are going to be his best friend.
The one receiver to keep an eye on, though, out of the top two is Ricardo Lewis, because he has the profile. He's 6'2", 215, runs a 4.440. He's got all the tools. Came from Auburn where they really ran the football a lot. Wasn't in a passing college offense like you think of today. But he's supposedly been the most improved receiver here so far per Al Saunders. And we'll see if he can really contribute as well this season.
All right, we've got plenty more to come. Stick around. We're going to get you set again for training camp tomorrow. What you need to know coming up. All right, training camp starts tomorrow right here in Berea. We're looking forward to seeing you out here. We're going to have a little bit of fun. Did you get butterflies before training camp, first night? Did you sleep?
Absolutely. The most exciting day of training camp is actually today when you report and see all your brothers that you've missed for the last 6 weeks. But tomorrow when you know the grind really starts, there's no butterflies. You're just kind of like, oh, training camp.
All right, let's jump into special teams real quick. And I think about Chris Tabor, and I think about when they drafted Jabril Peppers, the video of that. I mean, I still think he's excited about it.
Oh, yeah, he was thrilled about it. Wilhelm saw it last year with Joe Schoenberg, got him excited. This year it's Peppers. And hopefully he can come in and really kickstart a return game that has not been productive since the days of Josh Cribbs here with the Cleveland Browns.
And when you have a lot of picks in the draft, that means you're drafting a lot of young talent. Some of those guys are going to start. Others are going to compete to be backups. But all of them are going to have a role on special teams.
How hard is that transition, though, going from college star to having to play on special teams?
Well, when your coach, your head coach, or your agent tells you the way that you're going to make this club is by balling out on special teams, you dive in 100% and you give it all you can. And in some cases, once the season starts, offense, defense almost becomes secondary to you.
All right, give me your sleepers.
All right, I'll give you two on the defensive side of the ball in the defensive backfield. Channing Stribling from the University of Michigan. He was one of the best corners in the Big Ten last year. Nobody wanted to throw Jordan Lewis. They threw it Stribling. He had 4 interceptions, 13 passes defense last year, and then the other would be Kai Nakua. There aren't many true free safety. He's on this roster. Kid out of BYU, 14 interceptions, fourth all-time in BYU history.
The one name offensively we've never mentioned, and he was here for the back half of last year, is Danny Vitale. The role of the fullback, who will also be a great special teams player for Chris Tabor, but the role of the fullback in goal line situations, maybe in short yardage situations, and also being that thumper back, you know, guy who can catch the football out of the backfield, he's my sleeper to make this football team and have a big role.
All right, just a general thought on training camp itself. You know, it's such a great family event. I love bringing my kids out here. They have such a good time. And you can get autographs. I mean, that's really part of it. When you're a little kid, that's how you make guys lifelong Browns fans.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the blood drive. That is coming up on Saturday. Make sure you come on out. They'll have free T-shirts. You'll have an opportunity to pick up some tickets to some of the preseason games as well. So let's give back. Let's give 10. This Saturday at 12 locations throughout Northeast Ohio, donors will receive a T-shirt, preseason tickets while they last. And again, you got a chance to win other Browns prizes. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank
I look
you.
Forward to seeing you
Let's
on Browns
go.
Countdown all season long. Let's rev it up. Earn your stripes, folks. Training camp starts tomorrow. We'll see you.
How do we win? That's all I'm interested in, man. That's all I think about. How do we get this organization to where it needs to be? These men right here, all you guys here, you guys are just the guys.